There is really nothing quite like this. Nothing quite like the beauty and the promise of Christmas Eve. We're glad you've chosen to worship with us tonight as we continue talking about I'll Be Home for Christmas. Now, that's not necessarily the simplest thing to say, or maybe I should just say it doesn't have the simplest meanings, but I'm going to try to unpack it a little bit tonight in a way that will feel comfortable to you. So I begin with welcome home, or at least I hope it feels like home here or wherever you are. What you want home to be, what you need home to be, all the best connotations of the word. Tonight, we tell the Jesus story. We tell it from its beginning each year, starting with the first Sunday of Advent. For 4 weeks, we contemplate what it all means, angels and other messengers and warnings about repentance and babies being born in the most challenging of circumstances. And then, suddenly, we arrive here at Christmas Eve. We bring it all down a notch or two or three. Rest in that moment. Sit here in the sanctuary of the sanctuary, or if you're not physically here, create a space in your heart and mind. Turn down the lights if you need to. Put away the phone. Light a candle. For a moment, put aside all the trappings and wrappings of the season. Those tamales that you bought early, supply chains, you know. You put them in the freezer, and then you forgot them. Let them be. Except that elves won't show up to wrap the last few gifts just because you're hoping they will. By now, if it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. Let it go. Be here for just a little while where there are no tense moments with mother, no silent standoffs with father. Like snow that is naive enough or brave enough to fall in Central Texas, let it all melt away. You may have somewhere else to be soon, but for now you are here. My Jewish friend taught me that there are two ways I can announce I am here. I can acknowledge my physical location. I am here. Or I can be fully present to a place and a time and a moment. I am here. I exist here. Come away for just a moment, away from the world. Come home. That's what we've been promising to one another and to ourselves over the past 4 weeks of Advent. I'll be home for Christmas. It's a simple phrase, isn't it? Yet we who have lived long enough to be considered adults know that beyond singing or saying it, it's not that simple at all. Throughout this Advent, I've leaned heavily on the contradictions of our faith, and particularly of this Advent story and of this theme, I'll be home for Christmas. I began with Show Me the Way to Go Home, based on that drinking song, you know, yes, I did it. Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I had a little drink about an hour ago, and it went right to my head. Sometimes, the truth is, we get a little messed up like that, don't we? And we feel a little lost, and we can't even find our way home to the things that we've always known, always taken for granted. We can't find our way home to the things that are our deepest truths, our life's purpose. I shared in Advent the contradictions in that phrase from Robert Frost's poem, The Death of the Hired Man. The poem tells the story of Silas, a hired man who returns to the farm of Warren and Mary. Silas is an old man who has worked for Warren at various times over the years and always ended up leaving abruptly at the worst times. And now Silas is back, and Warren wants nothing to do with him, but Mary wants to take him in. This starts a discussion about what home means, and Warren says with great confidence, home is the place where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. But no, they don't have to take you in. I see that happen over and over, especially with LGBTQ youth. In the United States, LGBTQ youth are more than twice as likely to experience homelessness. And while they only make up only 7% of the total U.S. youth population, they account for 40% of all young people experiencing homelessness. Reverend Bill elaborated on that idea in his sermon, There's No Place Like Home, and offered us the conclusion that often the challenge is not that there's no place like home, but rather that there is no home place. And Amanda reminded us that home is where the heart is, where love is, but even so, she reminded us, as Bell Hooks said, the practice of love offers no place of safety. We risk loss, hurt, pain. We risk being acted upon by forces outside our control. Oh, but that never happens to us, does it? Of course it does. Those of us operating from a space of love for our neighbors, making responsible decisions, are still having our health and the health of those we love put at risk by those who are not making those decisions. And yet here I am now telling you to come home for Christmas as simply as I would tell a child on a waning summer evening as the sun disappears, leaving only the heat and no light, that it's time to come home. And all I've got left in my Advent bag of tricks is this one simple story. Not a child's story exactly, but a story about a child. And in those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world be registered. And Joseph went from the town of Nazareth to the city of David called Bethlehem. He went home to Bethlehem because he was from the house of David, and he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was expecting a child. And while they were there, she gave birth to this firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn. From the moment we begin this story, it's tough to take in. What? God, creator of heaven and earth, lying in a manger? This woman, Mary, whom God created, now creating God? God who rests on clouds and raises the sun and decorates the night sky by placing all the stars just so? That God resting on straw? Raising a baby's cry? It's a fantastical story. It's a story to rival Santa and Rudolph for all its magic and mystery, and yet we tell it every year, exactly the same. And it's supposed to mean something, this simple story. Does it? Can it? This story that takes all of 5 minutes to tell? Maybe so. While the rest of you binge-watched Ted Lasso, I and a few of my friends who prefer remaining anonymous to receiving the criticism that goes with this admission, we're binging on Hallmark and Lifetime and BET Christmas movies. In one of my favorites, the kindly matron of a winter retreat center shared with the young executive who was there to buy out the center and replace it with a trendy resort, "Christmas is like a baton. It is passed down from one generation of us to the next. It reminds us of who we are and where we came from." I love that. And I love that I have handed down my love of all things Christmas to at least one of my children. To my daughter, my oldest daughter. I love that I've handed that love of Christmas down to her, except for the part where she's up on the ladder, leaning out over concrete and putting up the last of the Christmas lights. I have handed on the love of Christmas to my daughter, but I often wonder if I have handed along the right things. I have to ask myself, and I don't think it's just because I'm a Christian pastor, if I have handed down Christ or only Christmas. Several weeks ago, when my daughter began decorating, well, let me just come clean here. It was a couple of weeks before Halloween. She sent me a picture of my youngest grandchild, Ty, playing with the stuffed nativity set that I had made for his big sister 5 years ago. "It's his favorite cuddly," she said. Ty's not old enough for Christmas lists and letters to Santa. He's still more interested in boxes and ribbons than in the presents inside. But he holds in his little hands a tiny manger filled with straw and holding the baby Jesus. And he learns about love. The love his mom has for Christmas. And for him and for his brother and sister, the love Grandma and Lita and Granddad have for them all. And while he may not understand what it means to keep Christ in Christmas, he is beginning to understand what it means that there is a baby Jesus in the manger. From the beginning, he is learning to be at home with Jesus. And all because of this simple story about a baby laying in a manger. It's hard to teach children about Christ if we begin with Easter. We cannot tell the resurrection story apart from the crucifixion. We cannot make it warmer and welcoming and peaceful. We need the Christmas story exactly as it is told, whether it is myth or legend or allegory or the gospel truth. In her book, The Faithful Gardener, Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Estes talks about her childhood family ritual. She writes, "In my family, the old ones practiced a tradition called make story. This being a time, often over a meal rich in aromas of fresh onions, warm bread, and spicy rice sausage, when the elders encouraged the young to weave tales, poems, and other pieces. The old ones laughed with one another as they ate. To us, they said, 'We are going to test you to see if you were gaining any knowledge worth having. Come, come now. Give us a story from scratch. Let us see you flex your story muscles.'" The invitation they are giving to the children is twofold. One, know that you are part of our story. Two, create for all of us a new story. One full of possibility, of kindness, of goodwill, of possibility and promise. It needn't be complicated. It needn't be long. You tell it. Then we'll all together make something of it. A simple story like the one we remember tonight. this story of God come to earth in the baby Jesus, we know what to do with that baby, don't we? Just love him. Just adore him. Just look at that little spot where his little head curves down to the neck. Just be thankful that most of the times we can meet his demands very easily because they're for two things, feeding or rocking. This picture of God in this story that we tell tonight is as soothing as a lullaby, as comforting as grandma's quilt. It makes no demands on us at all, no demands but to love. Rest in that moment. To hear in the silence the sweet refrains of Silent Night and O Little Town of Bethlehem. And for me, I hear another old favorite handed down through the years like a baton. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Can you hear it? Master, Savior, Jesus. I can hear it. And I can also hear my friend Jim saying, Karen, you can't say that. Master, Savior, not a world filled with patriarchy and domination. And I can hear my friend Marie saying, Karen, you can't say that. Not in a nation whose legacy is slavery. Oh, it's changed to be sure, but it's still with us. And I could hear my friend Rob saying, fragrance after the rain, there's no such thing anymore. The rain comes in torrents and the air is acrid. Don't be so naive, Karen. Don't be such a child. But a child is exactly what this night is about. And having a child's faith. We as Christians make a big mistake if we are waiting for death to carry us home. And if we think the only birth is the one that comes in the form of resurrection. How, oh how, will we make it home for Christmas if we're buffeted on all sides with conflicting accounts of what Christmas should be and how we should be? All the expectations, all the contradictions. Well, thank God for this simple story. This story that reminds us that we, everyone born, are loved. We are loved. You know, during Advent, we didn't leave you with all the contradictions. We reminded you that even when things get all messed up, you can change your mind, give yourself a chance, decide where and who home is for you, and go there. And we didn't leave you with home is the place where when you have to go there, they have to take you in, because that's not our experience, that's not our truth. We reminded you instead of that next line where Mary says, I always thought home is something you oughtn't have to deserve. We talked about the reality of grace, the grace that leads us home. When it gets all messed up for you, when you're not sure which way is up, which way is down, which way is home, remember this Christmas story. Remember that despite all the odds, despite the difficulties, despite the crowds, despite it all, Jesus was born. When it gets really tough, whether it's Valentine's or the 4th of July or Labor Day, when it gets really tough, stop and think about this story. and the truth of God's love for you. And then no matter if it's 102 degrees, whisper like a prayer, "I'll be home for Christmas."